With me today to talk about data deduplication, which, by the way, if you hadn't noticed, is one of the hottest topics in storage right now, is Curtis Preston, Vice President of Data Protection Services at Glasshouse Technologies. Hi, Curtis. How you doing?
I'm just great. How are you, Joe?
Great, thank you. So getting right into it, what are the biggest benefits you've seen among customers that have deployed deduplication products, and what are the most common ways that it's being used today?
Well, I'd say there's two main benefits. The first is it allows you to store more and more data on disk and get the benefits of that disk brings to the picture without having to pay for all of that extra disk. And then the second, and that's sort of from a backup context. From an archive context, it allows you to store a lot of data that might have some duplicated data within the primary data set, and be able to compress that data and just reduce the amount of disk that you would need to store that data.
Great. So right now it's mostly being used for backup data.
Correct.
Why mostly for backup, and do you foresee it becoming a part of all storage systems eventually?
Well, the big reason why it's being used mostly for backup is it's where you get the biggest bang for the buck. The way that deduplication works is that it's looking for redundant data sets, redundant pieces of data that are being restored, that are being stored to the server. And there is no more redundant set of data than backup itself, because we do everything from occasional full backups. Even customers that with products like TSM that do progressive incrementals, when they do database backups, they do occasional full backups of those databases. So we do a number of full backups, and then we do incremental backups of files that are simply updated versions of the file that I had yesterday. So I'm working on my spreadsheet, and perhaps if I'm working on it several days in a row, that spreadsheet will get backed up several times, although each day I only changed a little bit. A deduplication system would find all of these duplicated bits of data and store only the new unique bits of data. And so with a backup system, because we have so much redundant data within the overall backup set, the bang for the buck that you get with deduplication when used with backup is much greater than you would get with typical primary data, where you may within a given single, think of a single file system of users' home directories or something, there's probably duplicated data within that data set where you've got multiple users storing the same files in multiple directories or multiple versions of files in multiple directories, but it's not going to be the same amount, these numbers of 20 to 1 and so on that you've heard from the backup perspective. It's not going to be the same amount of deduplication. The other reason that backup is, that dedupe is being used a lot for backup and works really well for that, is that backup, it has a particular well-definable performance behavior. And we can tune the application for that. When we start talking about deduplication of user data or other primary data, using deduplication may affect the performance of accessing that data. And so when you combine the fact that you don't get as big of a deduplication ratio with the fact that you may get a decrease in performance, customers say, gee, I save some money here, but I get bad things there. And so as a result, there's been very little use of deduplication for primary data.
Got it. So one other worry that I've heard users talking about is that you deduplicate down so far that you only end up with one or two copies, and I guess people are concerned about recovery and what happens if that one or two copies is corrupted, and that seems to be a concern.
Yeah, and I'm amused by this one because while on first blush it sounds like, gee, that does sound like a concern, It's only a concern if you don't address that. So we've been fine for many years with having a single copy, each copy of a given file being only on one tape, maybe on two tapes, if done properly, where where you're copying it. But when we start talking about that file being only on one set of disks that's actually redundantly protected via RAID, all of a sudden it's a concern. The thing that I would say is it's no different, in my opinion, than a tape-based system. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. You don't store all of your backups in one system so that there's only one copy of that one file, and then don't put them somewhere else. So what is somewhere else? In a perfect world, it might be another deduplication system. And for those concerned about code problems, it might be a deduplication system from another vendor. But the idea is that it's absolutely a concern that you should address, in that the first thing you should do is make sure you're watching your RAID system. So you better not, if you're using RAID 5 or RAID 6, which you probably are, you better be watching for those disk failures, and you better have hot swappable drives so that when you have a failure, that is automatically taken into account and automatically rebuilt. And hopefully you're watching your failure rate so that you don't end up having a double disk failure, which would then be catastrophic. But again, make sure that data is stored somewhere else. And my favorite way to do it is to store it in some other vendor's deduplication product or tape. And so it's my risk mitigation strategy. So I'm a big fan of dedupe, but it's so new that people aren't, they're not necessarily jumping on it. And so my statement is, as long as everything is also stored in some other mechanism, then that mitigates your risk. So either store it in some other deduplication system or store it in tape, and then all of these concerns that you're talking about go away.
What are the most common scenarios that you've seen people deploying this technology? Is it for remote office consolidation, or?
So there are two basically well-defined contexts that people are using deduplication. The first is increased use of disk within a large data center. So they want to use disk, but they want to do more than disk staging. They want to store, they've tried disk, they like it, they like the backup and recovery performance of it, but they can't afford to store 10 copies of their data on disk. They can't pay for that much disk. So the first thing is to use it in the target mode, which is inside a VTL or other intelligent storage device that deduplicates all this data down, so that I can now store 3 months of data online on disk and not have to store all of these redundant bits of data. That's the first one. And then the second one, where it really works really well, where we can do things that we've never done before, and that is in the use in the remote office. And in this case, it's not typically not these deduplication targets, these VTLs. It's deduplication backup software that runs, actually replaces the backup software that you would typically put on your client and then back up to a remote, to a tape drive that's in that remote office. Instead of doing that, if we're able to run deduplication backup software on those clients, we can actually back up a reasonable amount of data, actually quite a bit of data, remotely across the wire to a centralized site. Where that works really well is if you have duplicated data even between sites, where you have, for example, let's say a large quarterly statement that gets sent to everybody in every remote office, that email would only get backed up once from whichever remote office backs up first, and then each remote office that backs up after that wouldn't send that data because it's already been backed up via some other office. So those are the two mechanisms where it's being used the most.
Great. There's a lot of talk about in-band versus post-process, hashing schemes versus bit and byte level comparisons, various indexing methods, and a bunch of other super techie stuff. Without getting into the weeds of all these different approaches, are there some rules of thumb that users should consider as they evaluate this technology?
Absolutely. You know, I'm a geek at heart, and I love looking at that stuff and talking to the vendors and listening to them defend all of their various different methods. But in the end, none of it matters. The only thing that matters that I tell people is, how big is it, how fast is it, and how much does it cost? And so from a how big is it perspective, this is the key here, and that is, make sure you test the vendor's deduplication method with your data. You cannot do it with test data. You cannot do it in their lab. You have to do it with your data. So you have to see how well your data will dedupe using their deduplication engine, because trust me, they are definitely not the same. The various different methods that companies have used to do dedupe will render anywhere from, you know, basically 1-to-1, which is nothing, to 50-to-1, depending on which type of data and which deduplication method that we're using. So the first thing is to test it with your data and see just how well your data dedupes. And then the second is, you have to stress test it with your data. You have to test it under load, under what you expect to be the full load of the system once it goes into production, because that's where the whole inline versus post-process thing actually may come into play. Depending on how your workload goes, inline versus post-process, one may be better than the other for you. And so the second thing is to stress test it under as big of a load as you can. I realize that that's really difficult to do, but it's the only way you're going to answer that question, because, frankly, I listen to both sides, and I think both sides have a really good story to tell, and I think it's going to be the customer in the end. And then finally, how much does it cost? That is obviously negotiable for everybody. What I would say is that what I do like are the pricing schemes that reflect how much the data, how much the box dedupes for you. Many of the products, they have a flat rate pricing scheme, which is basically, you know, we get a 20-to-1 dedupe ratio, so we turn 1 terabyte a disk into 20 terabyte a disk, and we only charge you for 10 terabyte a disk. And I think that's a bit short-sighted, although it's actually the most common pricing scheme. What I like a little bit better, actually a lot better, are the pricing schemes where they say, we believe you're going to be able to fit 20 terabytes in this, but if you can't, we're not going to charge you for 20 terabytes. So you've got to, you know, you've got to have those discussions. Mr. Vendor, what do I do if, you know, I bought your product based on, you know, 20-to-1, and I'm, you know, because I'm backing up medical imaging data, for example, I'm only getting 2-to-1. What, how does that affect my pricing? So
that's awesome.
That's the, you know, that's my quick summary.
Curtis, thanks so much for your insights, as always. This is great stuff.
Anytime.
Talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.